Season 2 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience is brought to you by RamFit. Here at RamFit, we take materials destined for landfill and turn it into high-performance exercise gear that lasts, because we believe we can have fitter people and a fitter planet. In the dynamic world of fitness equipment, our indestructible training tools made from recycled materials promises to revolutionize your workouts and delivered unmatched durability. By embracing the RamFit philosophy, you're not only enhancing your workouts, but also contributing to a more sustainable future. RamFit, fitter people, fitter planet.
Welcome everyone to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got a super special guest. We got Jim. He has a gym with called Unbreakable Athletics, along with a program that he has called Athlete Builder, which we'll get into later on in the episode. But thank you for coming on today, Jim.
Great. Hey, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to our discussion. It's always good to meet other folks that are seem driven, find ways to get people better, and that seems to be what we're about, and I'm looking forward to today.
Definitely. I feel it's always refreshing to get with people that have a similar mindset to you. It always just kind of fires you up, pushes you to get better. So to get started, so the viewers can learn a little bit about you, just give us a little quick elevator pitch about who you are, what you do, everything about you.
Oh, that's a good question. So turning 50 this year, and I've been in the strength and conditioning world for only about 13, 14 years. Prior background is finance and investments. I have an MBA from Purdue, and I worked in banking, finance. Worked at J.P. Morgan, the private wealth group. Did that for a number of years. I was good at math and good at sales, so that's like a good route. But the part that was always calling to me was something more physical, and I kind of overlooked that and told myself for the longest time, it's okay not to work in that area or not work on that part of your life. So I was making people very wealthy, but getting unhealthy at the same time, heavier and heavier, and just wasn't really, at some point, like an alcoholic, you just kind of bottom out and say, I've had enough. So decided to stop that lifestyle. While I was still working at J.P. Morgan, I started doing the things to get healthier, turn my life around. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, I said, you know what, I'm done in the investment world. I'm going to sell everything I own in terms of investments and put it all into starting a new CrossFit gym. And so I started that in early 2013. Then added sports performance for student athletes. And then the following year, we added strength athletes for powerlifting and strongman. So I'm the state chair for strongman in Indiana. We host other events, Highland Games. And then over the years and during COVID, we added nutrition and mindset training. 12 years later, we're actually getting better at some things, and we're still way far behind what we want to learn. So at the end of the day, we just keep working, moving forward, making an impact with adults and student athletes.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like you talked about, it can be easy to overlook the important things, and you can kind of, you can build up a wealth, but what's the wealth worth if you got to get a bunch of surgeries and you're not really able to utilize that, right? You got to stay good, well-balanced.
That's really the thing. People will trade off all the time for money, and I'm guilty of it too, that a lot of people will make the big lie to themselves, whether it is with their investments and retirement, and they'll say, that's okay, I have time, I can build it up later. Or they'll make the same lie to themselves and say, I have time with their own health. It's okay, I can get in shape later, I'll wait until my kids are gone. It's always something. Next thing you know, you wake up and you're 50. What the hell happened? Here I am, I'm in trouble now, right? In either instance. And in both instances, it's simply the compound interest effect of building daily habits. And once you figure that out, it's on different systems and processes.
It's kind of like a bank account with fitness. You can't put it off and then try and invest it all at once. You got to make those incremental deposits every day.
For sure. Absolutely.
So we have a few things in common. I mean, probably the least significant is, yeah, I'm turning 50 this year as well. Just coming up on that pretty quick. In addition to that, one of the things that we have in common is focus on mindset. That's a big part of what you do, and I want to talk about your book that's coming out. But before we talk about that, I'm really intrigued by your process of working with people. You've taken a sort of a business approach to health and mindset coaching and fitness coaching. And could you just break that down for our listeners a little bit so they can hear your unique?
Sure. But the mindset drives everything. So if I'm looking at an athlete's head, there's their mindset, then there's their knowledge of their sport, then there's what comes out of their mouth and how they talk to people. So how they work with teammates, we call that. But the mindset still drives that. That's going to be your core values, your identity, how you handle adversity, how driven you are, your fears, etc. Now, for some, that's a constant chore. I would say that's probably a constant process for most. Others, they have they're more driven and focused, and it comes pretty naturally. And what a gift that would be. But for most, that's not the case. Usually, people need to move along. So if you come in, you want to start working with us, just like you guys work with, you'll say, ask this person, why are you here? And then you'll ask, what I do is I call it the seven levels of why, because usually the first answer isn't quite the real deep rooted answer. They'll say, I want to be healthier. I'm like, well, why? Well, you know, I don't like the way I look. Why not? Well, I like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to take my shirt off at the beach. Okay, now we're getting a little deeper. Any other reasons you're here? Yeah, I saw the doctor. I got some bad markers. Cholesterol's bad. Triglycerides are bad. Pre-diabetic. Okay. Anything else? Any other reason why you're here? Every once in a while, a spouse will come and say, you know what? I'm embarrassed in the bedroom taking my clothes off. And I'm like, that's a pretty deep answer, right? So if you can drill down and find that root cause identity reason that they're there, then you got a better shot of keeping them going. If you can't identify that at all, or if I can't identify why you want to save for your retirement, it doesn't matter what I say. I can say, hey, you need to be healthier. Hey, you need to save more money. I can make it free. And in the past, I've made my gym free for months for some folks, and people still didn't come. Yes. I could double the price and take away a lot of amenities, and people will still stay. So when people have strong whys, that part of their mindset is already taken over. They've already decided. They made this decision. I was interviewing a guy, Mike Getka, on my podcast yesterday. I said, you know, when you're freezing cold during Buds and during Hell Week, how do you decide to keep going? He goes, there's no decision to be made. I already decided I wanted to be a SEAL months ago. Now, see, if you look at it like that, once you make those major decisions, all the other little ones kind of fall away. If you're like me every once in a while, then you'll start negotiating. Yeah, I'm decided to do this, but do I really need to do that today? Can I slip a little? And that's when you have to do a little more work. If you don't have it ingrained, then you need to do some more work. Are there tools to ingrain? Absolutely. Remind yourself your whys before you go to bed and when you wake up. Remind yourself of your whys on your phone as your screensaver. So if you start training your subconscious, your mindset, I think it's a little bit easier. People say, well, why are you running? Or why are you lifting? Or why are you swimming? Well, here's why. And I have these 10 reasons. And I'm probably not going to tell you that I want a better relationship with my wife in a bedroom. I'm going to give you some of the other ones, right? But at least I have a process of developing that. And then, hey, you know, once you have a habit, then you can evolve the habits. The next piece, when we're working with athletes, I lean heavily on James Clear's Atomic Habits book and just trying to build a little bit at a time. So people come and say, well, I need to be more motivated. And as you guys know, the reality is that the motivation is pretty fleeting. The discipline is what carries you. But every once in a while, I want some more motivation. So I'll go for a walk and I'll listen to something kind of pump you up, or I'll listen to something in the radio, or I'll just revisit my whys or look in a journal. So there's ways you can do some tactics to improve your motivation until, once again, these habits are ingrained. Then you don't need to do the little tricks anymore. This is just part of who you are. Now your identity is impacted. Now it's, hey, I'm Jim Beebe. I don't miss my 4 days of lifting a week. I don't miss my 4 days of conditioning. You know, I track my protein, I take my creatine. So after a while, those habits kick in. I don't really work on the mindset for those components because it's got me to that point. So you have to kind of evolve it. And, once you make a decision, kind of keep evolving it and reapplying until it's ingrained in your identity. And that's just one of the components I'm building an athlete that we work with.
That's awesome. And I like to think about it when you're asking the why with someone and helping them with that, is you're like peeling back layers of an onion, getting deeper to that center. You got to keep really push yourself and kind of learning a little bit more about that. What have you found to be the most effective way to remind the whys? Like you kind of mentioned the screensaver on the phone or writing them down. What do you feel like is the best way to keep that ingrained?
Well, when people come in and I ask them the questions, I think sometimes they've thought it all the way through, but not often. So they have a couple of them, and then I'll be writing them down, and I'll hand it over to them. I'll ask them some more follow-up questions like, well, why now? Today's a Tuesday. Why are you here on a Tuesday? Or, oh my goodness, it's August. Why are you here? Why don't you wait till January 1st, like those other goofballs? So, but why today? And then you find another impetus, another reason behind it, another catalyst, which, you know, can be important. And then I'll ask the next question, is like, so what gets in your way? What obstacles do you have? I'm helping them problem solve already, because I'll hear spouse and time, and I'll hear kids and time. So some of the things I have to do with them is I have to be vulnerable and authentic and let them know, hey, these are the problems that I had challenges with. My dad was sick at 58 and dead at 62. I didn't learn one healthy habit from him. He was fat his whole life. He was an attorney making money, but he was fat, right? I didn't learn how to get strong. I don't learn how to lift. I don't learn how to persevere from my mom and my dad in those instances I'm being healthy. So I got to ask them, well, what habits or what obstacles do you have? And I say, well, I want to do all these things, and my kids have travel sports, this. And I say, well, everyone says they'll die for their kid, but you're not really wanting to live for them, right? That's kind of a painful accusation, but I'm saying, my dad never showed me how. Then if you're doing the same thing that I did, if you made those same mistakes that I did, then your kids are at risk. They're behind. And when they're adults, all they're going to know is, hey, man, I'm an adult now. I have a job. My health gets sacrificed. I pour into my kids, and then my life is kind of over on the health piece. And I'll point it out to them, and they'll be like, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this was me. So if any of these parts are like you, we have to identify some obstacles and get people on board at home so you have that support. And usually the last question I ask is, if you're looking to quit, and heaven forbid you would ever quit this, but just in case, I don't have 100% retention rate, it turns out. But in case you ever think about thinking about quitting, what do you want me to tell you? When you come back with me, I don't have the time or this and this and this. What do you want me to hit you back with? Because here I don't have time. And I'm not going to sit there and say, that's total bullshit, you idiot. But that's probably what I'm thinking, right? Because that's really kind of the reality. And that's the part that I had to hear. But I'm like, what do you need to hear? Do you need to write down your why and send them to you? So it puts a little bit more pressure on them. And at that point, we're like, hey, we're serious. We're here to make, I'm here to change your life and make things different. And then have that ripple effect so the rest of your family's impacted. To your question, how do I remind myself? So just one task I'm working on physically. I'll take a journal. And the journal right now is just for that one task. Now, what's, you know, selfishly for me to tell you that this follow-up piece is that along with the book that gets published in September, there's a planner / journal along with it. So it walks you through these questions. You write them down. You go through it all. You do your assessments and analysis. You break down your habits. You log in your tasks for each day. You keep track, right? There's an accountability piece. Most of the world likes apps, and I do too. But I find that you write with your hands and paper, it's a little more lasting in your brain. So that's what's coming out here soon. So that's the way I like to do it, because it forces me to sit and be present and write so that it's further ingrained in your identity.
I love that. When I journal, I use that method. Because the main reason is because when I'm trying to do that for my wake-up routine and then that bedtime routine, I want to stay as far away from that cell phone as possible, and that old school paper pencil is just... can't beat it, right?
Well, and the research is showing, you know, the connection, the mind-brain connection that's there when you're writing, it's just not there when you're typing on your phone. It's just a much stronger connection.
And plus, being on your phone before you go to bed, it's going to impact your sleep. So, and I'm guilty of doing that too. I'm guilty of watching the Terminator movie or the new Alien movie and then going to bed, and you're all wound up and you're wondering why you didn't sleep well. I do that shit. You know, well, I was trying to minimize that, but I make those mistakes absolutely all the time. Just got to keep ratcheting and improving, moving the needle.
When do you find, for you personally, is the best time to journal?
I do it right after I swim. I just log, and this is where I'm at. And so I usually, well, every day I'm trying to fight for some type of improvement. And I'm a new swimmer. That's not my background at all, zero. Before this year, I probably swam laps in a pool, I don't know, a dozen or two times in 50 years. And that's about it. But this year is different. So when I'm done with, because I will already done my lifting, other conditioning in the morning, and then before lunch I will swim also, so that'll write down my results.
And with the swimming, is that just you like the low impact of it, or what made you decide to want to start picking up swimming into the daily routine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. That's not most necessarily public either, so I'll let you guys in on the reality. I'm not loving the swimming. I'm not loving it, no. up until 2021, you know, with my gym, I had CrossFit, Sports Performance, I was also powerlifting and strongman. So I was 319 pounds, but 800 yoke carry, 300 per hand, farmer's carry, over 600 deadlift, things like that. And I like competing in strongman, right? But at some point in every sport and every part of your life, you're told, hey, gotta make some changes. So through COVID in 20 and 21, I had a broken foot, a couple herniated discs, strained ligaments in my hand, and then... stenosis in my spine, final straw, right, the day after the Super Bowl in 22, was there was a blood clot in my leg. So they do all these tests, and they say, I thought, well, hey, doc, I'm sure I'm lighter and thinner. Some of these ailments are going to go away, especially the blood clot. And he said, yeah, no, normally that's the case, and it is the case, but with you, there's some hereditary issues with the blood clots. You got to take some blood thinners, which is fine. Everything's good there, been good there for years. When you're on thinner blood and you put 800 on your back, you're going to strain that intracranial pressure. With that straining, could cause blood to leak into your brain, right? And if you're stroking out, it's bad. So then you got to make some different choices. Yeah. Through 21 and 22, it was just, all right, let's get leaner. And I'll continue to train 6 or 4 days a week, but not heavy, because I'm not going to lose that habit. I'm afraid to lose that habit. But I was just kind of going through the motions until I kind of found myself and my new whys. Because it was before, it was, you know, coach everybody, but if you're here for whatever you're here for, I don't care. Just keep training. I was here to be as big and strong as I could. That gets taken away to find some new targets, I guess. And so found some new ones on, you know, your family and weddings and college graduations, things like that. Being more well-rounded and healthy. So I started just being leaner, doing more CrossFit type things. Still lifting, but not nearly as heavy, anything over 300. Got more well-rounded at 22, 23. Then here in 24, launched Athlete Builder 23, and I'm having these podcasts. Right now. I'm meeting all these fantastic folks every week, and I have this local Navy SEAL on, Kenny Bigby, who introduces me to Bill Brown, another Navy SEAL out in Jersey, who's now also an attorney, and he's retired. And Bill's on has a great, great story. You know, came from nothing and was fighting all the time and arrested before he got into the Navy, but turns his life around, becomes an attorney, etc. Bad dude. He's like, hey, Jim, come out for this New York City SEAL swim on August 10th. And I'm like, bro, like, I'm 60 pounds lighter, but I don't swim. I lift. I'll do cardio. I'll do jump rope and ski or bike. But no, hey, man, just come out, be part of the event. You're a patriot. Help us raise some money for the Navy SEAL Foundation. And then you'll introduce yourself to other folks that can. You can work with on your book, podcast, etc. I'm like, cool, I'll be there. It's at New York City, there's the Statue of Liberty, and these guys are running with their flags, and they hop in the Hudson River, swim to the Statue of Liberty, right? I'm like, So they get there, and they park themselves on this barge. They do 100 push-ups and 22 pull-ups. The 22 is because 22 veterans kill themselves daily, right? Yeah. Then hop back in the water, swim to Ellis Island, where immigration started, right? Another barge there, they hop on the barge, another push-ups and pull-ups. One more swim all the way to Manhattan, and then they get there, they pick a flag up, and they run to World Trade Center, Ground Zero. More push-ups, pull-ups, then you got all the speeches, badass event, super cool. So I'm there for it, and I'm enjoying this August 10th. Recording was back in July, and I said I would attend that. But this all comes back to answering your question, I swear to God. he said, well, you know, maybe next year for you. And I was like, Swim with Navy SEALs, big patriot thing, you know, Statue of Liberty, like, damn, right? And could be, like, I would never say I'm a SEAL because that's a huge joke, but to actually do something with them. Meaning, and for me to be turning 50 that year and then do that, and then for me to go from a strength athlete of 319 pounds, I'll still have to get leaner and leaner, and swim across the Hudson River where they have bull sharks, do all those push-ups and pull-ups and run. I got to believe that if my philosophy on building an athlete's head and building an athlete's body, which you just do incrementally things better, and if I gave myself a long enough runway, you could take someone who has zero ability in the pool and get them to swim 3+ miles and do all this other shit. And I was like, well, if my philosophy holds true, then fuck, let's go. Let's prove it. So So here we are, and we're inching along in that damn pool and getting better at it. But, you know, I haven't drowned yet, but it's been close. And so that's, you know, good for my joints. It's going to be healthier, blah, blah, blah. You know, I like to learn about myself. I like the struggles. And but that's the real reason why. And I'm going to make that happen next August. Yeah.
I love that you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
So much that. You preach to your clients. Yeah,
those are the best coaches that are putting into place what they're telling you. They're not just jawing at you. They're actually put into place. I feel like that's a very underrated part that is super important for being a good coach, is modeling it for them, because you can say whatever, but once people see your actions, that really instills confidence in your members.
I hope so. That's kind of the point, right? It's one of the points. It's one of the whys that's listed.
So when's the target date? When are we going to swim the Hudson?
So it was August 10th this year, so I imagine somewhere second weekend in August next year. It's about when the water...
Oh, so we're shooting for next year.
Right, so that's about when the water is at its warmest. It's in the 70s, I think.
I didn't know if you were giving yourself a one-year runway or a two-year runway or what.
I'd like to do it one.
You're going to do it in 1 year.
Be done with the swim and then the fins, but I am learning to like the workout component. So there's probably some staying power there. But yeah, the target is August 20th.
Yeah, I've been interested in swimming because I feel like it's a great, you get all the body components. It's low impact, but I really haven't found a way to really effectively implement it in my training. But I'm definitely, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather just hold a barbell and go heavy stupid stuff. But that's fine.
What else do you press in the areas where you're least comfortable, least competent? You know, you're feeling like this is not my jam. You know, swimming, obviously, as you explained, powerlifter to swimmer, great example of where you're willing to challenge yourself mentally and physically and say, this is not my strong suit, but I'm going to press into that anyway. Where else do you do that?
That's a good question. So a big thing on the swimming thing that you would learn, I guess, if you're doing it, is that the more you tense up, the harder you push, the more inefficient you are at swimming. And my personality is just keep going through, harder, push harder, right?
Yeah.
Pick up weight, move, right? This is an obstacle, get it done, get tests done, push, push, push. And when you do that, you tense up, you start burning up a ton of oxygen in your body. And so you're very, very inefficient. You're getting fatigued and you're out of breath. And once you're out of breath and you're in water and your face is in the water, well, now you got some problems, right? So one component that helps when you're in the water, something you can do out of the water, is just breathing techniques, Wim Hof techniques on breathing, meditation. Like, I can sit there in a cold tub and breathe through that, but my face isn't drowning. I'm not drowning. I feel threatened. But if I feel like, hey, I need to get to the other end of that pool, I'll start swimming harder and faster. Well, shit, man, that's only one length. If you got 50 more lengths to go, you're in trouble. You got to stop. You got to stand there and stop and recover. So the meditating and breathing thing is not something that I'm well-versed in. I've been to clinics on that and coached on that. So I know how. And now it's like anything else, you add this in and you start with 2 days a week, 3 days a week, and get to 5, 6, 7 days a week. So that if you can calm yourself in the moments that are not under duress, then you start adding stressors, start applying the same techniques, calm yourself, so that when you are under duress, you can perform better. It's just like Lamaze when you're delivering a baby, right, for a female, right? Or if you're a sniper, you calm your heart rate down before you pull the trigger. So how do you calm yourself down in stressful situations? That's something I'm not great at, because I just go from like 0 to 100. But the breathing and the meditating and just calming yourself down helps me in life, helps me in coaching, helps me with my relationships, but then also helps me not to drown in the pool.
And if you don't mind, just tell me a little bit about how you translate that to your athletes. You specialize in working with these young athletes and you know, taking them to the best level they can be in high school and then to the collegiate level as well.
Sure.
So how's that translate in what you're doing with them?
You know, anything is hard. My wife and I, between the two of us, we have six kids. And one of them plays D1 football. The other one's all played high school sports. And so just how do you reach someone? The answer is different from all of them. Same thing with adults or other kids at the gym. How do you reach them? And I'll point out things. I'll make it real and tie it back to either what their whys are. Hey, you're looking to earn a scholarship. You're looking to change the trajectory of your family's last name, right? This is some painful experiences I've had personally, professionally. Here's some painful experiences competing, right? Because of that, there's no more fears. Those are all kind of gone. At 50, all those problems, like when COVID hits, you're like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, come on, I've been to this far. I said, well, I'll tell these kids, hey, you need to have enough adversity so that when you are hit with problems, you just keep going and you have a process to get through that. So we go through this training. As soon as you're comfortable and you're moving well, then intensity increases. We'll make it hotter, less rest periods, heavier weight, must go faster, more sprints. And we keep building that so that when you are tested on the field, you keep pushing. Your standard of handling pain is higher than everyone else's. The adversity that you've been through is higher than everyone else's. So you have that frame of reference so you don't break underneath that strain. You don't break underneath that pressure. You know, it's easy for me to swim 25 meters. I can stand up. But if I have 500 feet below me, there's no standing. You have to be able to handle more. It's a progressive overload mentally and physically. you point out, hey, this is what's going to happen, right? You're going to be seeing this. Other kids are not preparing like you. You are. You have an advantage. Adversity shows up. You get excited because you're going to watch people break, and that's how you beat people. Lance Armstrong is always going the hardest on a hill, not on the down, right? Because other people are breaking. He's taking their souls, as David Goggins would say, right? We had to condition you to do the same things, and unfortunately, you don't get there from doing anything easy. So the gift is the pain, and the results is what you're going to get from it.
Okay. Yeah, easy never got. People will tell me, oh, this is hard. Well, if you can tell me the things that you've done that were easy and you're proud of, then I'll be happy to change it up for you.
For sure.
Until then.
One of the rags about the thing that came easy, yeah.
You're not proud of anything you did.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back a little bit to the meditation. I love Wim Hof. I'm actually doing his 20-day cold shower challenge right now, which is pretty brutal. But with his meditations, I've tried implementing that. What have you found to be the best way to implement meditation and breath work for your athletes?
For them, you know, usually it's like a clinic, and not doing it a whole lot. But when they're getting freaked out about this next set, just like anyone else, how many times someone in your life or you heard for centuries, take a deep breath, right? So I'm like, I'm getting people ready to max out their squat. I'm like, let's talk about it this year. What's going to happen? We're going to breathe in here. We're going to unrack. We're going to take our steps back. And then we're going to exhale. Then we're going to breathe in again. It's down and up. So when you kind of make things real systematic, then they can. When you're on the field, you're getting ready to go in. Sometimes there's no transition. But sometimes in football, the offense is out there. Or maybe in basketball, you ran down the court and you're transitioning to defense. If you can take a moment and take one extra breath, if you can take yourself out of the situation. I just look down at my hand and my shoe. I'm out of the situation. And then you have some type of mnemonic device or some type of mantra. And let's say you're a linebacker getting ready to go in. I look down at my hand, I'm out of the situation, and it says execute or attack or violent or fast and physical. So you reapply the mantra that you wanted to have that day in the weight room or on the field. Then you look up and you're like, all right, here comes the play. We're going to redo this. And then you're back into that conditioned subconscious of fast and physical. If I'm doing the meditation in the morning, I'm thinking fast and physical. I'm driving to the facility, I'm driving to the stadium, I'm thinking fast and physical, right? And then you're hearing all the coaches stuff and you get ready to go in there. So at some point, you've ingrained fast and physical so that you can take a deep breath, calm yourself, take yourself out of the situation, you go to fast and physical. Comes on to play, well, shit, man, you're probably playing as fast and physical as you can.
Love that, keeping it simple and to the point. Definitely effective way to keep yourself calm in those situations that are highly
special struck. Thank you to this episode's sponsor, Elevate Training Grounds. They're inviting you to their Deca Strong and Mile event. It's going to have ruck, team, and kids divisions. So go check it out. The energy is going to be off the charts with prizes for people that win.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Kind of talking about mantras, the mantra for your facility, you would call it Win the Day. And I love that. And that kind of ties in. I recently read a book, The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. And he talks about how, so we know that objects don't stay still. If they're in motion, they're going to stay in motion. When you're making the right decisions, like we've been talking about, making those decisions every day, we're going to keep increasing, right? Exponentially growing. But when we're making the wrong decisions, we're moving down the opposite direction. So I love how with your mantra, Win the Day, it keeps you focused on those simple things that are building up over time. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration and why winning the day is so essential for you guys.
And I wish I could say I can't, coin that myself. There's so many great phrases that aren't mine, but I just copy all the other awesome people and kind of reapply it. And whether you buy my plan or any others, a lot of times they'll point out that, hey, you should get your priorities done first, right? Get these main things done. And so when I'm looking at the athlete's head and there's those three components in the body, the three components, I'm like, well, these got to be the priorities. Here are the six things we're working on. Now, if I'm already lifting and it's a Monday, it's a max effort lower body day, which is great, I don't need to write, go lift. I'm already doing that. The habit's already done. Check box. But maybe I've been skipping out on my core work, or maybe I'm not as intentional on my sets and reps. So maybe the way for me to move the needle on the training component of those six is be more intentional and do your core work, right? That's the part that's missing. I hit that, then I get a check mark on the day column for training. And there's one for nutrition, recovery, knowledge, teammates, and mindset. So I need to have my targets each day. So if I'm doing these things, I'm smart enough to have some kind of systematic plan to get better. If I'm doing these things, then you got to be better. You got to be better, right? If I'm skipping my core work and then 30 days later, I never skip. This is not part of the deal. Well, then I got to be better, right? The other thing is people have these long goals, long-term goals, and, hey, like next year you want to do this SEAL swim, or I want to lose 100 pounds, right? Or I want to make this varsity, which is in 3 years. That's so far off. You start lying to yourself, you have time. Or you can be like, I can wait till later. Or you can lose your overall motivation to do those things. Well, motivation could be gone, but I still know I have to get these six tasks done. My discipline has to kick in. So if I get these six tasks done, my motivation could be there or could not be there, but I'm still getting a win. I know that mathematically, if I get this win today and I stack them all up, I should be there. Also, you to continue with any of these habits, just like James Clear says, it's got to be satisfying. That's the fourth component. The word we use is sustainable. Well, what happens if I make the swim in a year's time and then say it's August 10th? Well, what about the 11th or the 12th or August 13th or even a week later, August 7th? Am I just now upset? Am I a loser now? Am I not happy? Is all my whole identity and my happiness and joy tied up to that one day, that one moment that I'm going to feel great that day, probably the next, and I'll probably have too many drinks that night, right, with everybody else partying. But all my identity and joy is tied down to one day, 14 months later, then that kind of sucks. It's not really that sustainable. But if I can get six wins today, hey, I still won. I'm still feeling good about myself, right? And if I'm feeling good about myself, I'm happy, I have progress. That's about all you need to keep the athlete going is to have them be a little bit happy about it and have make some progress. It'll continue. So if you keep stacking these wins even after that ends, because you're still going to have your targets, then you just keep going. You just keep going, and the next thing you know, you're in the grade. But between now and then, you had a lot of fun doing it. And so that's why it's win the day all the time, so you can keep going.
I feel like that's so important to just stay present every day, because if you're so tied up in 6 months, even when if you do accomplish your goal in 6 months' time, just that's a pretty fleeting feeling, though. But that consistency, enjoying what you're doing, is just going to make you a long-term beast, keep you moving forward no matter what.
It's true, yeah. There's a time I carried 305 by hand for Farmers Carry, preparing for this competition down in Kentucky. And one of the coaches there that's always been stronger, you know, he kind of looked at me and just get this little head nod. And I was like, oh, he gets it. And so that lasted 30 seconds. And I'm like, I kind of stopped and realized what I did. And because that was the competition weight I was working towards. And he's like, you've been lifting to get stronger for 8 straight years for 30 seconds. I'm like, yeah. So, you know, there's a high level of satisfaction and, you know, it's humility that took that long. And there's pride and you're happy with that. But if that were only the target, then the next day I wouldn't do much, right? I wouldn't be that excited. I was still excited the next day to come in and do upper body or still come and do the next stuff because there's still joy in the next day's training, next day's improvements. But once in a while, there's a big target. But
so, you know, part of the training that anybody's training, course, is going to be recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you address recovery with your athletes, and recovery is a part of resilience, right? So talk a little bit, and of course, you know, you're on the Ricardo's Rules for Resilience podcast, mm-hmm. and you've got a book coming out here soon that talks about resilience. This couldn't be more perfect. So will you talk a little bit about those things?
For sure. So when we talk about the head, there's the mindset, then there's still the knowledge of their sport, when it comes later about the teammates. Physically, there's your training. There's your recovery, and then there's your nutrition, right? All of it's tied in. Every component affects the other five, and the recovery piece is absolutely essential. A couple different things that people need to be aware of. It's not how hard you train. It's how hard you train, recover, and then train hard again. If I went and swam 2 miles on Monday, I can't do anything to pull for a week, and then I miss 4 or 5 days of opportunities to get better because I'm so wrecked. So you overtrain that much that day, your nervous system is shot, you can't come back. You got to be able to progressively overload not just the day, but the weeks and the months. If you're an accountant or a CPA and you're during tax season, you're getting kind of wrecked, right? Those extra hours. Recovery is huge. Any kind of improved nutrition, any kind of improved sleep habits, any kind of physical activity, you're going to be a better accountant, right? You're going to be better at sales. You're going to be better at not making mistakes. So the recovery is going to be huge, huge, right? Number one is going to be your food and sleep. So anywhere from 68% of your success is going to be your food. If you get that right, then you got a big shot. Number two is sleep. Food and sleep. Number one, steroids. Like, absolutely. I had this great guy call me a week ago. He had consistently trains off and on, like, but consistently trains, mostly on. And I was hit a little bit of an injury where he trained. I think he trained at home. And he was off for a couple months, and he's back at it. He's been back a week, and he calls me and says, hey, I'm so sore, and you ain't supplements I should be taking for soreness, for recovery. Well, how long have you been, I know you've been training your whole life, but how long were you off? It was a couple months. And where are we at now? He goes, well, I just started week two. Goes, well, yeah, you're sore. Okay, come on, bro. And if you've been gone that long and now you're just back into it, yeah, you're going to be sore. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're going to be wrecked. And I said, so how much do you weigh? He's like 195 pounds. I said, what's your protein like? And he went through his numbers. I go, well, yeah, it's about 100 grams of protein. That's way too low. So anywhere from 180 to 220, somewhere in there. The easy rule is one, but it's just a rule of thumb, right? It kind of depends if you want to gain or lose. But if you're at 100, that's not enough. So I asked about that. I said, "You, what's your water like?" He says, it looks good. So I was like, all right, we're good there. Do you take any creatine? He goes, no. I said, well, that's super easy to keep water in your muscles longer. So I said, well, research supplement, you can start there. And I said, let's talk about your sleep patterns. You get 7.5, 8, 9 hours, or you're one of those guys that you get 6 and you just kind of grind through. And he's like, yeah, I'm around the 6, 5.45, 6.15. I said, okay. And then you just went back to being a school teacher, so you just started your school system again. So you've been off all summer, and now you're back at work. He goes, yeah. I said, so you went back to lifting, adding a stressor. You went back to work, adding another stressor. You're sleep deprived, so cortisol shot, so it's another stressor, right? And you're asking me for some little pill that's going to help those things. Like, I can give you some vitamin D and some magnesium, and that's going to move like 1 to 2%, but 95% is going to be the amount of food, protein, creatine, and sleep that you get in. So if you do those things, you'll start recovering physically. Some other tips and tricks. When I was lifting quite a bit, I would have a little bit of Gatorade and a protein shake while I'm lifting, so I'm helping the recovery process. Mm-hmm. When you're hurt, you know, you can learn a lot from being hurt, but in turn 50, so you have to do more mobility stuff. I like the Ready State or Go Wad for programs on how to heal. That helps. The sleep things, so how to help someone with sleep. Get off your phone half hour before you go to bed. Go up at the same time slot so you don't get yourself self-inflicted jet lag. Keep your room as dark as possible. No white light. You need to have a white noise on. Do some reading, meditation, prayer before you go to sleep. Calm yourself down. Do all those things, and then you'll sleep better, right? Water intake, if you're not good at taking in your water, set your alarm on your phone so that every hour you get up and have 8 ounces or until you hit your 100 ounces that day. Other things on recovery, talk to someone. You're under stress, talk to somebody, right? You're stressed about this meet coming up. You're stressed about work, talk to somebody. It's usually fear of what could happen. It's never usually what does happen. Fear usually works. And then if you have those challenges, those fears, if you got to eat a frog, eat it first thing in the morning. If you got to eat two, eat the big one first. Right? That's what Mark Twain said. So if you got these problems, get room as soon as you can first thing in the morning. You'll start recovering better. Stress improves. Cortisol goes down. Right? So if I get wrecked during the day, heard people cancel, a sale goes through, someone quits, there's big complaints, I get pushed back with my publisher or editor. So if I have a bunch of things, just I'm usually good and pissed by the end of the day. And so before I stop working, I must get at least 1 or 2 wins. I'm trying to make 3 phone calls and sales calls, I'll make 4. The win is I did one more. If I hadn't worked out, I make sure that I get that done, but it's always the first thing. If I'm still stressed, I might do a second small workout or a walk. But you need to get some kind of win to change the momentum physically in your head. If it's, hey, I'm going to make sure I eat well tonight for dinner. That's going to make my, I want to make sure I crush my food the rest of the day. I can still control that. That could be a win. I'll make sure I crush all my sleep habits before I go to bed. That could be a win. I got to get some kind of win if I'm getting crushed with all these other problems so that I change the momentum mentally. And then the next morning, I try to find 1 or 2 more so you kind of build those wins. So you just change that momentum. I don't like those days a lot, but you have to dig in and be in pain and push through. But I got to find some wins so I can change the mindset and then recover a little bit quicker. Hope those are some good options or ideas for you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely perfect. Tremendous advice.
As we start to finish up our time with you, I just kind of wanted to give you an opportunity. We talked a little bit about the book, and obviously the listeners can tell you're very knowledgeable, great coach to be a part of. So I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of sell people on the book, let them know why they need this information in their life.
Gotcha. So it's kind of a manual. You know, it'll read like a novel, and then I got personal stories in there, things where I sucked and things, lessons that I learned to help illustrate points. But the manual is going to be, like I said, with an athlete, the head and the body. We want to find out who you are. We want to find out what your identity is. What are your core values? I'll give you what mine are and what they are for athlete builder and people that we work with or people at the gym. You need to have your own. I can tell you why these work really well. But you need to have your own. And then you need to be asked these questions so that you can start building this athlete or person you want to be. We'll ask more questions on all three of those components for your head and for your body. And then we're going to use those questions to whittle down what are your targets. So you might have a long-term or medium-term target, but you have to whittle it down to your daily targets. And then you can start tracking and improving each one of those targets towards that long-term goal. They'll walk you through that, hey, you need to get smarter at most everything. So start finding those folks, find some mentors, whether it's a group of online mentors, podcasts and YouTube videos or books, or hopefully it's someone that's been where you want to be. So you got to find that mentor. You got to find your ally, your teammates. And the allies and teammates aren't the ones that say it's okay to screw around and go out drinking the night before the big game. They're the ones that say, hey, we're going to bed early. And when you do make mistakes or say that's bullshit, you can't do that shit, right? So it walks you through, hey, you need to build up your tribe and your teammates so you can keep pushing. And so it just systematically walks you from A to B so you're always evolving, always improving to that next level. So there's a digital course that comes out the following month that walks you through it. When I have people on the podcast, I'm asking them similar type of questions so I can take that information, funnel it folks. The book and the planner is how you implement those things. And that's it. That's the calling. Other than my family and my kids and Jesus, this is the calling. So that's how we try to make our impact.
Awesome. And when does that book, our planner, come out?
So September 30th.
September 30th. Yeah, I'm definitely... need to get that book. I want to read through that, go through that planner. Sounds like a lot of gold nuggets in there.
If the wins are because there's so many losses beforehand, right? So there's some ugly ones in there, but everyone has them. And so you just keep pushing.
Well, yeah. One of the rules of resilience that we teach people is it's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up. Success is getting up one more time.
Just one more time. Just one more time. I'm out there in New York on that barge, one of those boats, and I'm talking to this lady. She's like 6'6", 6'1". I'm like, oh, athlete, right? You can see it in her build. And I'm talking to her. She played pro volleyball. And Olympics are going on. I go, you know anybody on the team? She goes, yeah. I know a couple girls on that team there. I'm like, we have four girls. I have other nieces that play sports. You know, some play high level. Like, help me out here. Just tell me what gets you all the way to that height. And she goes, there's walk-ons, college walk-ons, that are on the Olympic volleyball team right now. And I'm like, really? Really? And she's like, yeah. Unfortunately, there's so much toxicity with some female sports, and with all the players on the team and the coaches, there can be that. So for a big component of getting to that high level is just being resilient and outlasting all the quitters along the way. Because at some point, there's going to be so much pain from the toxicity that people will quit. So if you just keep going, you're going to keep going. So those walk-ons that weren't given a scholarship and they're used to just being the outcast and they keep pushing, well, that's their norm. Yeah. That's their standard. So whether there's toxicity or problems later, it doesn't matter. They're just used to having problems. So just keep pushing. Next thing you know, they earn that scholarship. They're playing D1. Then they're playing. Then they're starting. Then they're all conference or all American. And they're playing pro. They just keep pushing. And so that outlasting all the quitters, C2 is one of the core values, means don't quit. That's one of the two main components. Like, what's the other component? Because everyone's playing travel ball. Everyone's tall at that level. Everyone's athletic. The main component that's missing for everybody is everyone's weak. I go, what do you mean? She goes, because I know what the answer is, but I was leading around. They're all physically weak. Like, they could jump, but they're not strong. Their cores are weak. Their backs are weak. They have ACL tears because their hamstrings and butts are weak. So she got injured and had to sit out a year, like her sophomore year of high school. She took a whole year off and just lifted. And then once it started back up, that's the one habit, the training habit that she kept with, the big weak link that held her back. She added that component that no one else does. No one else does that well. So now she's the strongest on the team. If you're strong, then you are now able to create power. Because power is a formula, a byproduct of strength. So if she's the strongest and most powerful on the team, well, everyone knows that person. And if no one's really lifting or lifting that well, but you are, competitive advantage, right? Right out of MBA school. So now, she's the only one lifted all through high school, all through college, she's just smashing people. Just smashing. So you get the resilience piece, and you find the one way to win that no one else has. Now it's pretty easy.
That's right.
So, it's a question on resilience.
Love it. So, we talked about facing things that are tough and going into areas where we're not used to going. So, I'm thinking, the next area you got to push yourself into is DECA. You're going to take the DECA challenge?
I saw that. You know, Katie Reister was telling us about that. It looks like it's 10 stations of doing some kind of, you know, physical labor, right? And so just after a while, you do so many different things, it's just another day at the office, right? If you do Merck or you run a half mile or you run a half marathon or, you know, you lift heavy and then you do a bunch of watts and cardio and bunch of swimming after a while, it's just Monday, you know, it's just Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's just another day. So I'll have to look more into that, see what the team likes to do. We sent a lot of people to Tough Mudders this year and Spartan races. We host a lot of competitions at our gym. We host powerlifting nationals in October. We have Highland Games, CrossFit, you name it. So we'll have to look at possibly hosting that or not. We'll see.
Well, I was asking about you personally. I wasn't asking
for sure.
About your gym. I was asking if you're going to find a place to, whether you do it at your gym or any other place around the world.
I hadn't thought about it. You know, I have, for me to add more things, something else has to go away. Right?
Oh, that's true.
So I'm already lifting and doing calisthenics and then plus the swimming. I'll probably be down in there for a while until that's done. I probably won't be adding another thing to that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, like I was just curious because, you know, you're talking about moving into different areas,
sure,
trying new things, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a guy who just sees something. I think we kind of have that in common. We see something new and we're like, oh, that looks intriguing. That looks hard. Now, let me give that a shot. I want to try that.
Right. Yeah. Plus, I have that nerd factor that my wife and I share. So we like to go to national parks and go hiking or rafting and things like that. So I have to put that in there too. So anything that's outdoorsy and hiking, we like to do.
Man, that just fuels the soul right there.
Just sure does. Yep.
Nice. We went to Yellowstone this summer and it's beautiful out there.
No kidding.
Love it. Yeah.
You see some of those idiots trying to pet the furry cow? See those memes saying, don't pet the furry cows, meaning the buffalo that get, they'll gore you. There's usually a death or two every so often because someone's being an idiot. You see that?
Yeah, they had clips of it showing people what not to do, and it's crazy. They get bucked up in the air trying to pet them or feed them something.
Yeah, it turns out you're going to lose.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew? I don't care how good you are at jiu-jitsu. We hit Yosemite this year for a spring break, and, you know, it's just one of those other places where you're like, oh, wow. I'm such a small, insignificant person that someone else created all this, and it was just gorgeous, yes. just outstanding, just gorgeous out there.
Yes, definitely. It reminds you of the Creator and His power, and that He spoke it into existence
for sure,
and cares for us. It's beautiful. Definitely fuels the soul to be out there. Well, we do like to end our podcast with asking this one question of guests: if there was anything you wish we would have asked you today, but we didn't ask, what is it you'd like to tell us?
Yeah. I don't know that I need this question asked. It's one I like to ask others, and I'm cool with it myself. If you ever watch like Silence of the Lambs, you'll see Hannibal Lecter, that vicious psychologist that is also a cannibal, and he's the main villain, one of the two main villains in the film. But Hannibal Lecter will ask, you know, what is your biggest fear, right? And if you get someone to tell you what theirs is, one, it then built some trust that they were willing to do that. Two, it gives you some insights into their psyche, so it's easier for you to reach them. And if you can reach, then you can connect. And then if you can connect, then you can move, right? You can move forward. So asking those questions or receiving that question is usually a pretty good one, right? If I'm asked, what am I really afraid of? There's silly things like snakes and being up really high, but I still go hiking up high, you know? And if I see snakes, I know how to handle it. You know, I still move forward. Drowning, bad one. So being in the water, not great. So as long as you're afraid of things and you keep moving forward, I really love that because that just builds that resilience. So after a while, you do so many things that are scary or painful, you're not really afraid anymore. Why would you be? Because you had enough experiences. Those poor souls that have been scrolling in the last 5 years or haven't done anything challenging, they have tons of anxiety because they built that in themselves. But usually a question like, what are you really afraid of? That's usually a good one. You get to try to be really introspective. I would be afraid that after everything I've learned and believed and preached, I died and nothing happened. I guess I would be afraid that that could be true, but that's what faith is. I don't believe that, so I'm not worried about it. I'm good. I guess the last piece, I'd be afraid that I died too early and didn't make the impact on the important people that I wanted to so that they could have that next iteration and ripple effect going forward. That'd probably be the second biggest one. But got to go now, right? So got to push now. Yeah.
I love that.
Definitely love the introspection there. Very powerful. So thank you for coming on today, Jim, and sharing all that golden information with us. And hopefully everyone got a piece of information out of that that can help them and push them. And just a small piece that you can do every day, right, and stack those wins, win the day every day. So the best way to get in touch with us, if you're interested in training with us, we'll have the links in description for a Google form to fill out for that. If you're looking to reach out to me personally on Facebook, I'm Coach Alton, and then on Instagram, Alton Mullinax _. And what's the best way to reach you, Coach?
You reach out to me on Instagram, coach.ricardo or Ricardo Mullinax on Facebook. But our guest of honor today, Jim Beebe, people have heard a lot of great things from you, and I know that it's just a little tiny drop of what you have to offer. So if people want to get a hold of you and hear more and train with you, how can they do that?
Sure, awesome. If you're around the Indianapolis area on the west side of Plainfield, we're at Unbreakable Athletics Academy, and you can find that on all social media, whether it's X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, online. And if I'm traveling or if we're doing other things outside of Plainfield or Indianapolis, it's Athlete Builder. Unbreakable has a red and white U. Athlete Builder has a black and white anvil. So Athlete Builder's all those social media handles. There's an Athlete Builder podcast out right now, and we're just coming up on our one-year anniversary. We maybe 7 episodes left, I think, somewhere on there, maybe 8, 9. So we come up on a year, so great. Always been blessed with a lot of people way smarter than I am to give me more information and continue education every week, so check that out. But also YouTube, all our podcasts are there. You're ready to watch. And then there's resources coming out with the books, digital courses, things like that. So all through Athlete Builder.
Awesome. That's a great information. Pop over. We want all our listeners to pop over and give a listen and a like to that Athlete Builder podcast. It's going to do you a lot of good. Jim, as he says, much knowledge as he's dropped today, and he's saying that all his guests are smarter than him, or a lot of them are. So you're going to get tremendous, tremendous information by popping over that Athlete Builder podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I want to reiterate that point. I listened to some following up to get ready for this, and you got a lot of great guests, get a lot of powerful information out of that. So thank you guys for tuning in today to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and overcome difficulties. Go be resilient.